Sports heroes, movie stars, music idols, they all inspire hero worship. Commentator Daniel Pinkwater once was among the believers, but he had his illusion shattered when he was still a very small child.
My mother and I took a train to some little Midwestern town. It was a dusty, wind-blown place, a single street with a few buildings, a shabby hotel where we stayed, the grocers, the cafe, the hardware store. I loved it. It was exactly like the Western towns in the movies. And to make it perfect, at one end of the main drag was a corral. It was a cattle pen, actually, I suppose, a vacant lot with a rough wooden fence around it. But it was cowboy enough for me. And it was being put to an unusual use that day. There was a banner strung above the lot. It read, "Meet the Lone Ranger today only at 2 p.m. There was some sort of rodeo in town for the day, and he was the guest of honor. Talk about a fortunate coincidence. I was the Lone Ranger's biggest, most ardent, most crazed fan. I told my mother that she had to take me to see the Lone Ranger. It was too important for any discussion or argument. This was the astonishing, next to impossible chance of a lifetime, to see the Lone Ranger in person in some little burg in Indiana or Iowa. I didn't even know where we were. It was too good. More than some mere coincidence, fate was at work here. And it was just across the street. She had to take me. My mother was a woman of fashion and elegance. Her traveling ensemble, including tiny high heels, a mink jacket, a hat with a little veil, gloves, was not exactly suitable attire for attending a bucking horse contest. But she was going through with it. My intensity and earnestness had persuaded her that this was something she had to do as a mother. So, under a threatening sky, at a little before 2, we crossed the street, and my mother and I picked our way, she in her high-heeled shoes, through the feedlot, toward the small set of bleachers, sparsely occupied, and the fence against which a group of Western types lounged, including the lone Star Ranger. It seems that the five-pointed star painted on the banner between the words Lone and Ranger was not merely an element of decoration, but part of the name. It was not the Lone Ranger, as known and loved on radio, but some other ranger, Lone Star. The Lone Star Ranger was small. His clothes were dirty. He had a 2-day growth of beard. He had a mask, but it didn't fit well, and I could see that his eyes were quite red. He smelled of whiskey and sweat. He didn't even have cowboy boots, but scuffed black Oxfords. And instead of a pair of ivory-handled silver Colt peacemakers, he had an ordinary blue steel .38, like many of my father's friends. Clearly, this wasn't the guy. I would have been sorely disappointed, but there wasn't time. Just as I had taken in the lone starness of this ranger, there was a stupendous cloudburst. Instantly, the surface of the lot turned from manure to liquid manure. The rain came down in drenching sheets, and my mother and I made for the hotel as best we could. I was disappointed, of course, but my admiration for the genuine and authentic Lone Ranger continued undiminished. And now, circumstances place me in a position to say, on radio, on what used to be referred to as a national hookup, the following words. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. The stories of his strength and courage, his daring and resourcefulness have come down to us through the generations. And nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver, the Lone Ranger again.
Daniel Pinkwater, his latest book is Uncle Boris in the Yukon.